Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, my elder.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am the listeners as well. All right at home.
Yes, I'm okay, and I'm hoping that our listeners are also doing well out there on the roads and also at home. Now, before the Advent movement became a global church, most churches believed the second coming would be a spiritual or figurative event. It is like it likely wasn't even discussed very often. Now, Seventh-day Adventists believe that the Savior's coming will be literal, personal, visible, and also worldwide. But what are some of the signs signaling his imminent return? So, my elder, please describe the events in the natural world and religious world that will precede the second coming of the Messiah.
Okay. Thank you for that. You know, Jesus in the book of Matthew, he spoke of earthquakes. He spoke of famines, he spoke of pestilences, he spoke of strange signs that will happen in the sky. So what we can say is that it's going to be very much visible. It's he warned even of false prophets. He warned of counterfeit worship. You know, there's quite a lot of things that he spoke about. So these events are not meant to scare us, in a way, but they are meant to awaken us, to basically remind us that he is coming and is coming very soon. And eventually when he comes, his coming is going to be very visible. It's not going to be a secret rapture as we know it. You know, we're told that it's going to be a rapture, of which other churches still believe that there's going to be some form of rapture that is going to happen. But as we can see from the book of Thessalonians, that his coming is going to be very visible to each and everyone. Yes. So I was saying from the last part of the book of Thessalonians, Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us that his coming is going to be very visible.
Now,
behold, he cometh with clouds, you know, as he says. And every eye shall see him.
Now,
even
those that I want to come to that every eye, exactly on that.
Yes.
Now, there are people who died moons ago, even before Christ came and was born. I'm talking about people who even lived before the Abrahamic time. Are you saying that even those people are part of this thing?
Not necessarily. You know, if you read the book of Daniel, there's a specific people that we're talking about. So when we're saying many moons ago, yes, we're talking about that. People that died in the Lord, of course, they're going to be resurrected for that. It doesn't matter whether you died during the time of Abraham. It doesn't matter whether you died during the time of Adam, even.
Remember,
as long as you...
When you are supposed to be resurrecting, whether to eternal death or eternal life, of the deciding factors there are that you believe that Christ is the Messiah, he is actually the Son of God, and you believe in him as well. Now, during the Abrahamic times, there was no Messiah, so there was no need to believe in the Messiah, etc. Then what happens there? I mean, if it says all eyes shall see him, including those who were there even before the times of Abraham, even before the times of Noah, by the way, who know nothing about Christ. What's going to happen there?
You know, maybe let's start by tackling particularly the book of Daniel. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 2, though, of course, the people did not have a direct idea of who Christ is, they had a direct idea of who God is. So they believe in God. You know the Bible was very clear to them. It was very clear to them. They knew exactly what was. There was no Bible, but the word of God was very clear to them. So they knew there were prophets. You know, God sent prophets throughout history so that he can make himself known even during those times.
So they knew about God himself, not his son.
they knew about God. And you know, when this is where I was coming to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar says, if you remember, he says, I see, didn't we just throw in three? But who is the fourth one who is like the Son of God?
You but know, we do know that that was a special revelation to Nebuchadnezzar himself. It does not mean that people
that
saw him.
Yes.
So people didn't know this Christ that we are now referring to in our days. I mean, from during the times of Christ and post those times. And I'm trying to imagine in my mind you telling people who had no knowledge, no imagination whatsoever, they've never even heard about a Christ. Now you are saying to him, Christ is coming again. And of course, they're going to be saying, what are you talking about? What are you on about?
I think, if you read, I think it's Great Controversy. When God revealed himself, even in the olden times, he did not reveal himself through God the Father. It was always Christ, even back then. So meaning the will of God the Father.
You're saying that he would have revealed himself through Christ? Please refer us to that.
Yes. So when you read, says he revealed, I don't have the quotation, but remind me, I'll bring it tomorrow. That he revealed himself through Christ. We might have not known Christ as he is, but the revelation of Christ was indeed given, but not necessarily as Christ, as the Christ that we know today, who came and was crucified on the cross. But the revelation was given through Christ, meaning that whoever that they met if you remember Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, where he says, I was caught mid-air when I was coming to give your answer. And then tried Gabriel to come in until the Prince of Life came to actually free me. So you will see that there is a relationship that the people of God have with God, they have with Christ at some point, though of course it's not clear to them that this is the Christ, this is the one that is going to die. If you remember also, you go back to the time of Abraham, when he's supposed to sacrifice, and he says, God himself shall provide himself a lamb. So there's an idea of what is coming. There's an idea of how God is going to somehow.
So are you saying that the people who lived there on the days of Abraham, I'm talking about the days of Noah, etc., are you saying that these people had some kind of an idea that there is a Jesus Christ who will come back again?
There is a Redeemer who will come back, because remember, after Adam and Eve sinned, there is a promise that is given that there shall be a bruising of the serpent, and that shall come from the seed of the woman. So this is clearly established from the foundation of the earth.
Well, let's leave it there. Let's leave it there, my elder. Let's actually go to some of the markers of Christ's return. What does it mean that his coming will be literal, visible, audible, and sudden?
Well, Christ's coming will be unmistakable. Let me put it that way. I remember when someone once said to me that, when Christ comes, I'm just going to make an example. It says, when Christ comes, when someone tells you there is Christ, you should first ask them, where is your grave? Because the dead and the living shall not see Christ. I mean, the living will not see Christ before the dead. They shall be caught up together. So this same Jesus, it says, the same Jesus whom you see go up is going to come back in the same way, meaning that it's going to be a literal coming back. And then when we're saying it's going to be a personal kind of coming back, he's coming back for you and I. He's coming back for each and everyone who has done according to the will. So it's personal to a certain extent, because as you have a personal relationship with Christ on a daily basis, you grow into becoming a Christian. You grow into becoming Christ-like. So this is also personal in that particular nature. And it's also going to be very visible, because the Bible says every eye shall see him. So this is not secret. And it's coming with the sound of a trumpet. So it's not something that is going to happen in some house or in some building or somewhere where people do not know. So it's going to be audible enough, and it will catch the careless off guard, if I may put it that way. So there is no mistaking the real second coming. It will be the type of coming that will shake the heavens and it will shake the earth itself, because eventually, when there is the cracking of the earth, the graves will open. This is not going to be some form of private thing or something that is behind closed doors. This is something that is going to be very much audible, very much visible, something which is going to be very much personal to each and every believer who believes in Christ.
Is it going to be sudden?
Yes, it's going to be very much sudden, because it says, if you remember the story of the 10 virgins, the others were prepared, the others were not prepared. So heard that, yes. So it's going to be sudden.
Now, how can that return be a surprise or sudden when we've actually been given signs and markers to look out for his coming?
Let me answer it in this way. You know, during my times in school, my teacher would say, you should be in class earlier. I remember if school started at 7, we're supposed to be in school at 6:30. And one of the things is, sometimes she would not come to school. She would not arrive at 6 o'clock, at 7 exactly. But one thing that we knew is that the teacher is coming. So the signs do tell us of that the coming of Christ is near, but not the exact date, not the exact hour. Just like our teacher, we didn't know exactly what time she was coming, but we knew that she was coming. And when we know that it's just about to be 7 o'clock or just after 7, we know that any time from now the teacher is coming. So like in Noah's time, the people saw the ark that was being built. They heard the warning, but felt normal, you know, until the flood came. So for those that live unprepared, his coming will be a shock, you know. But for the watchful, it will be a joyful, it will be a joyful phenomenon to the people that are watchful. And I assume that it's you and I, you know, it's going to be a joyful expectation.
Wonderful stuff. Now, is Christ's second coming something to dread or something to look forward to? Because you're saying that it's going to be, all the things that you've explained. Now, having listened to what you have said, what should the person listening think? Is this going to be dreadful? Is it something to be looking forward to?
Yeah, this is in two parts. It depends where you stand. You know, it depends where you stand. For those who reject Christ, the book of Revelation says they shall cry, you know. They shall cry to the rocks and say, rocks, fall upon us. Because they are not yet ready for what is about to befall them, you know. But for those that love him, it would be a joyous sight. It would be a great thing, because we have been suffering, you know. we have suffered. We have gone through a lot here on earth. Not only that, but the living in sin. You know, one thing that I've always said that is that, yes, we understand the suffering. It is not the suffering that basically brings the joy. But it is because of living in the presence of sin, where you see things, where you see corruption each and every place that you go into, each and left, right, and center. So when Christ comes, it would be a joyful sight because we see everything, even the skin that is corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. You know, so we're getting to that point where everything else doesn't matter anymore because the one who is coming to finish everything is here. So it's going to be joyous for those that it's like someone who has, who is like two people who have played lotto. The one that loses, it's sad, but to the one that is winning, it's awesome. Mm. So the second coming is going to be like that.
I see. Well, my elder, let's leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us for this afternoon. Thank you so much for the wise words that you have given us this afternoon. Blessings to you and also blessings to your entire family. Hoping that we're going to be talking again to you tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings to you, the family, and the listeners at home and on the road as well.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you. God bless.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.